Welcome to the show, Andrew Banks from Performance Reps. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here with us today. So, Andrew, we've been chatting a little bit through Instagram, but I don't really know you that much besides what I get to see through Instagram and your Facebook account and all of that. But so fill me in, fill everybody in. Who is Andrew Banks?
Yeah, so I am a wrap shop owner, I guess, out of Dayton, Ohio. I own Performance Wraps. Just bought the place, I guess, a little over 3 years ago now. I used to mow grass and then ended up buying the wrap shop that wrapped my trucks and trailers for the mowing business. Since then, I've gotten rid of that business and now I'm solely focused on wrapping.
And that was Performance Wraps, right?
Yeah. So Performance Wraps was the name of it when I bought it, and it just stayed the same, rebranded a little bit, but stayed the same name.
So let's attack the first question everyone has on their minds. So how do you jump from cutting grass to wrapping cars?
Yeah, so it took me about 30 days to make the jump from when the previous guy said he wanted to sell the place to when we were signing paperwork and handing the keys over. Really, it was just opportunity. So I am an extremely impatient, patient person. So what I mean by that is when I came in, I wanted to get my newest truck lettered. The guy told me he was like a month out. So I was relatively impatient and started volunteering for the next couple days. Like it just happened to fall on rain days. So I was like, tell you what, I'll volunteer. I'll help you letter and wrap some of the stuff that's in your shop. If you let me come in after hours and letter my own truck, like I'll still pay you full price. I just want to get my stuff done so that I can get back on the yard or in the mulch bed or whatever. So oddly enough, he agreed to it. And over those couple days, he brought up that he wanted to sell the place. So as I was kind of selfishly learning how to install lettering just so that I could do it on my own stuff. I started talking to him about numbers and the business as a whole and kind of fell in love. I mean, from comparing the lawn care, the customers are better, the people are better, the employees are better, like the margins are higher. There's literally no downfall. It's not seasonal like lawn care is, so. Yeah, it was pretty easy to make that jump once I started evaluating, kind of doing the pros and cons list.
Get it. So you skipped the suntan.
Yeah. Have to actually work on it. But I guess that's the only downfall is I kind of work inside now. But I guess it's kind of an upside as well, too. So don't have to work in 90-degree weather.
That sounds good. So does that mean that you got a new shop with full of employers or you just started out on yourself?
No. So it was the guy I bought the business from. It was just him in a garage. No employees, nothing. So kind of had to learn it all very quickly. So it took me 30 days to like close the deal. And then he was gone about 30 days after that. So I had about a 60-day crash course on the entire industry. Luckily enough, there's a lot of people within the industry that are very friendly, very open. So there was some local shops. There was a shop in Hamilton that was kind of always open. If I ever had any questions, would even let me drive down after hours and like watch him wrap and ask questions. Just kind of volunteered, like I'll letter stuff for you. I'll hold a panel. Just tell me why you're making certain squeegee strokes and show me why. Yeah, that was really my first year. The Wrap Institute was a big one. Watched a lot of videos, CK Wraps as well, Vinyl Vixen. Watched all their videos and kind of learned from them. And now I'm pretty confident that I know what I'm doing, at least.
I got to say, that sounds gutsy to me. I mean, you go from not knowing anything of the business to in 60 days being there on your own. Would you do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. There was definitely some things that I would probably do different. Nothing from like really the wrap or anything like that, but just from, I mean, at the time I was like 19. So I've had a lot of like kind of grown up business experiences from just like reading contracts, negotiations. some other stuff like that that I've learned from. One of the main ones is like have a lawyer probably proofread and read contracts before you sign them, because that kind of that got me into a little bit of a mess. But nonetheless, it's all been cleared up now and good to go. Just a little bit more debt than I was originally expecting.
So that means that you are 3 years into the business now. Where are you standing right now at the moment? What, how does the business look?
So right now, it's myself and my soon-to-be fiance, that is my partner.
Congrats.
And we have, thank you. And we have two employees underneath us. And that's all it is as of right now, employment-wise. We have one installer and one designer that we use as subcontractors when we have some overflow.
Yeah.
And yeah, just trying to build the systems, kind of build the business. We are, fingers crossed, by the end of this month, should be signing the or closing on a commercial building that's like four times the size of the space we're in.
Wow. How come?
So right now we're paying rent on 1,800 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our construction clients is also rapidly growing. So they are moving out of their 8,000 square foot building into a 25,000 square foot building. And they are selling us their older 8,000 square foot building.
Nice. So you're getting a bigger shop.
Yeah. 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 It's yeah, much bigger. Like I said, I have 1,800 square feet and have a 14 foot door, which is nice, but the high ceiling only goes about 15 feet deep. Mm-hmm. So it kind of restricts me a lot on some of the bigger stuff. We have printers and I do design and all of that as well. So we have a lot of commercial clients. So when I sell the big trucks, that's
hard.
Kind of annoying. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Is that your main business?
Commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're probably 80-20. There's a shop that's, I mean, I could almost throw a rock and hit them. They're like a auto sport.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shop. So they do the rims, the lift kits, the radios. They also do wraps, color changes. So they're probably the market leader when it comes to color changes. Typically when you deck out your car, you kind of go all the way. You don't just wrap it a neon pink, but don't do anything to the rims or anything else. So they capture those sales. But we have the printers and I have the business mindset. So when it comes to talking to business owners is really, that's when I'm in my sweet spot.
Do you feel that that's where the money is, wrapping fleets?
Yeah. When it comes to, just kind of reoccurring revenue, I should say, business to business kinds of seems to be the best because it's, I mean, for example, that the company that we're actually going to buy their building, it's a fleet of like 22 vehicles. They were five different companies that merged to one. Mm-hmm. So over the course of like 18 or 24 months, I had 22. I think it got up to like 26 because they've grown as they've done this. But we have now done 26 different vehicles for them just off of one client, one connection.
That's nice.
Have another client that just came in and talked to me yesterday about 12 box trucks they need done. And I've already done 8 of their vans. So yeah, commercial seems to be where the reoccurring revenue is. Just because, I mean, businesses grow. Businesses don't just have one car that they take to car shows, which seems to kind of be the color change, at least in our market. I went to the most recent Long Beach, RapsCon.
Yeah, right.
And you'll just see like Rolls Royces driving down the road that are wrapped of an exotic color. We don't really have that on the East Coast in Dayton, Ohio. So yeah, I would say at least as for where my market is, commercial really is where the money's at. That's where the, like I said, reoccurring clients are. I don't really have to market a whole lot because once I get the client, I keep them for the rest of their fleet.
How's the market at Dayton? Is it good? Is it an overcrowded market?
No, it is. It's not overcrowded in any way. If anything, it's undercrowded. There's a lot of room to grow here. I would say there's, when I think of wrap shops, I only can think of like 3 or 4 players. Mm-hmm. You have your, in every market, I'm assuming, you kind of have your guys in a garage.
Right.
But as for like a guy with a storefront who actually is running a business that wraps cars, There's less than five of us in Dayton.
How big is the city?
From population standpoint, I kind of stumped me on that one. I actually haven't done a ton of market research. I grew up here. Mm-hmm. I've lived here my whole life, so I'm kind of biased. I didn't like do a bunch of market research and then pick what city I want to open up in. I just like where I'm from, so started the lawn care business initially, but then wanted to stay here with performance wraps. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, my goal is to hopefully have a couple performance wraps locations. So maybe at that point, I might be doing some market research if I want to move to, I don't know, Columbus, Cincinnati, or Northern Kentucky. I don't know. Those are just kind of some of the closest city areas around us.
That's a nice segue to one of my other questions. Is when we were chatting a little bit, you were talking about your dreams. Just mind sharing your dreams for everyone out here, what you want to accomplish?
Yeah, so they're big. So I want to have, my goal is to have anywhere between 500 different performance wraps locations. This kind of depends on, obviously, growth. I want them all to be successful. So if it takes a little while, it takes a little while. My biggest passion is within business as a whole. So like to kind of be like more of a business coach. So if I have 500 locations, I have those business owners that have a percentage of each location that are running each location. And I'm kind of that business coach, really helping them grow their store. Because like I said, I mean, less than 3 years ago, I was one man in a shop. I actually moved in here for a time when economically just times were getting tough from making that jump from lawn care to wraps. So knowing firsthand and literally mapping out myself from living in the shop to being able to move out of the shop, bring on the first employee, second employee, and now almost quadrupling my space size, I want to be able to coach somebody else to do that same thing. So that's kind of my bigger goal, my bigger passion, is to be able to have multiple locations, but ultimately to be able to coach each one of those business owners on how to run a million to multi-million dollar location.
Well, there's a couple of directions we can go from here now. So I think one thing that might be interesting to just touch base on is, as a new business owner, one of the hardest decisions is to employ your first employee, right? Just taking the steps and just signing on the first person to your group. Do you remember how that was for you?
Yeah. So I, and this isn't to discredit any of my first hires, but I definitely made mistakes. So when I first started hiring people, again, when I first started, I mean, it was like a 30-day, 60-day crash course. And then I'm like watching YouTube, trying to learn. I'm not really going to my like local competitors to see what they're wrapping. So I really don't know what expectations are. So from a confidence standpoint, I'm not confident on training anybody at that point. So when I put out ads and someone replied and said that they had been wrapping for 10 years or whatever, or I think one applicant said he had been wrapping for 15 years, which I also just recently learned out the large format printer's only been around for 17 years. So I don't know how he from Dayton, Ohio got in on the first swing, but nonetheless, I hired experience. I didn't really hire culture in any way.
Right.
And that was a big failure of mine, because my first employees, I kind of just let them do their thing. I didn't have the confidence to, I guess, be their employer. I just, he said that this certain bumper can't be wrapped and that it's going to peel back because that's what it's supposed to do. And very quickly, obviously, learned that was wrong, from refunding to firing and having to redo stuff myself. But now, fast forward, I guess I made those mistakes for about a year, hired experience and not culture. Now I love hiring. I have a whole process to it. We have kind of initial phone calls, screening process, then they get an in-person interview with me, and then they get a tryout period. And then we just see if it clicks, and then we bring them on. And it's very culture first. I don't care about experience. As long as you are eager, willing to learn, show up on time, we'll work with you. We'll train you how to wrap. And it's been great. The two employees that we have now are phenomenal. I tell our first hire, with this new process, her name's Savannah. I tell her often that she's very quickly going to be a better wrapper than I am, because she's just within 3 months has already progressed so much faster than I was.
Sweet.
So yeah, I apologize for the very long-winded answer. Hiring, I was kind of very passionate, within the whole hiring process that we've kind of created for ourselves.
To now to just go back to the what we were talking about prior to this, and that's the journey you're planning on going ahead with from 1 to 500 locations if everything goes your way. It is a journey, right?
Yeah.
So we were talking prior to this about how you emphasize on systems and trying to build systems for everything. Is there any certain thought you have on that, or you just go at it?
So I guess, well, I'm proactive and reactive. So my only job that I've ever had that I wasn't self-employed is I worked at McDonald's, and I was super nerdy kid, I guess, that on my breaks, I would pull down the operating manuals and like read their systems basically on how they can get, lack of a better term, a low quality employees all the way across the country to 15, 16 year old kids to all flip burgers the same way. I've always had that fascination in that. So I've always been proactive in trying to create systems eagerly. So anytime something becomes the least bit repetitive, I try to figure out how to put that on paper and train easily. Secondly, it's just if the mistake is made. So for instance, we had a guy that was working for us, took the bumper off a car to wrap it, didn't plug everything back in, and it costed us like $900 after the client was obviously mad, took it to a dealership, and we had to pay that dealership bill to pretty much remove the bumper and then plug everything back in properly. Mm-hmm. And then talking to the dealership, he pretty much said, yeah, just you didn't plug anything back in. Like, sucks, sorry, here's a $900 bill. So the next day when a new car dropped off for a wrap, now we have this whole process of like checking all the lights, checking the sunroofs, the windshield washers, like make the windows, making sure everything works, making sure they sign off on it. And then when we're done, we obviously make sure that everything that worked when they dropped the car off works when it leaves. So yeah, just kind of, if you make a mistake, fix it quickly. If you're making mistakes multiple times, that's where it's gets irritating for me, and a system definitely needs to be put in place. That's kind of a rule I have here with all, because again, I'm hiring new hires that don't know anything. So it's just kind of always make a mistake once, never make it twice, because if you make a mistake once, you should be putting some type of system or checks and balances in place to make sure that that same mistake doesn't ever repeat itself.
It sounds like a good setup. It's got to make things easier for you, I guess, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of work at the beginning, obviously, because putting a whole system in place, kind of organizing your thoughts, putting it on paper, and then almost inevitably always having to reorganize and redo the sheet because you've always forget something. Mm. Like that first initial page where I like checked that all the lights and all that worked. Well, I broke a windshield washer spitter, and I could not, like, I just pulled the, I don't even know what it's called, but that little, the heat thing off the top of the hood to get the windshield spitters. So I just pulled that off, and one looked like it was corroded and already like broke, but I didn't have the paperwork to prove it. So I just had to bite it. I mean, it was only like a $10 bill, but I just went ahead and bought the new washers and put it in for the client. But that then was like, okay, didn't even think about that. I should now start checking every vehicle to make sure those work before I do a hood wrap or a full wrap or whatever. So yeah, just constantly learn, put a system in place, and then constantly revise it. Don't just think because you put a system in place one time that it's the best thing in the world.
It sounds to me that means that you need to put a lot of time prior to even starting the wrap, right? Just going through the car and all of that. And for some people, yeah, they it might sound that it's not worth it, but you see that completely different, right? You see us putting down the fundamentals.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's I think what sells a wrap and what gets a client to come back, like a repeat customer, is, now don't get me wrong, you can't like install a terrible wrap, but outside of quality wraps, it's what you do before the wrap and what you do after the wrap that gets you, keeps the retention and gets new clients. So if you do the extra mile of doing a 30-day checkup, going back out to the client's location or making, have them swing by, whatever, however it works within your own personal shop and system, but getting that extra touch, being like, okay, this corner is peeling or this bubbled, this didn't work out, whatever. Just making sure that after 30 days, you see the vehicle again, you make sure it's absolutely perfect. You've already put on the edge sealers, whether it be liquid or laminate edge seal, whatever your shop's preference is. And you're just kind of doing those things. You kind of have those procedures. And before the sale, you're having those checklists. You're making sure that nothing's broke. If you're designing, you're making sure the vehicle, you have pictures of the vehicle and all of that's correct before it even shows up. It just shows professionalism. You're not making as many mistakes because you're being proactive about them with your own systems that you've built in. And then with 30-day check, you're making sure your work always looks good, and it kind of gives you another conversation with that client to build that rapport. And then typically if you wrap something and then 30 days later, you talk to them again and it looks great. Now they've all have all types of ideas of other trucks they want wrapped or their wall they want wrapped or something. So typically that process has actually increased retention and additional sales because they were thrilled with their wrap and now they want to wrap something else.
I get it. I love it because you're putting yourself in front of the customer once again, quickly after you've done the wrap. So gives you another opportunity to be seen, right?
Absolutely.
30-day check. I like that one. So I know working pretty hard on social media. I've seen your videos out there and they're a bit spread out through Instagram and Facebook. What are your thoughts there? What kind of content do you want to put out there? What are your focus points?
So, man, content is really just in today's day and age with media. I actually criticize my own content so much because I don't feel like I post enough.
How much would you like to post?
If I could figure out some type of system to put in place to post 1,000 pieces of content a day, I would. Like, I don't think there's a limit. And then each platform you have, they do pretty good at, I mean, if you post on Facebook, I don't know how many friends I have, 400 or 500, whatever. It's not like all 500 people right. see that post. There's only like 20 people that it actually shows up on their feed. So if you just look at the kind of numbers there, I'm going to have to post 1,000 times a day to actually get all of my friends to see one of my posts. So that, I think that's a big misconception right now with social media is that they think posting one a day, and by all means, listen to what I say, not what I do, because I don't post more than one a day just because I'm still running the business. So that being said, if I could post 1,000 times a day, I would, because I know that would be the only way that everybody would actually see something that I post.
But I mean, one a day, that's even more than most of us do, right?
Yeah, no. And if you're doing one a day, you're doing great. But I as soon as I possibly can, hire somebody just to post on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok and all the other platforms. I mean, the cost of attention nowadays is just so cheap as compared to commercials and billboards.
What tips would you give for anyone in the wrapping business trying to maybe post some video blogs or short videos? And
don't overthink it. So that was an issue of mine, is I used to just overthink it, think that I have to have this super awesomely edited video with, I don't know, phenomenal after effects and all of that. And it's just, you don't need it. I mean, pay attention to your market. So if you have a shop that's right down the street that's blowing you out of the water, then maybe you need to spend a little bit more time on video versus picture or the other way around. But as compared to my market, I mean, if I just post 3 times a day, I'm one of the top posting people in my market. So three times a week. For someone just starting out, just post something. You get better as you go. So don't try to think that first video or that first post has to be the best one. Just take a picture of what you're doing that day and throw some hashtags on it and call it a day. Mm-hmm. And then as you go, you'll start taking better pictures, better editing, I guess, better captions. But just start. That would be my advice to a small shop starting out.
So all the videos you've done lately, which ones worked best for you? What do you think made it stand out?
So the videos that have done best for me so far has, honestly, it wasn't even really me. When time lapses were new, mm-hmm. those videos were doing well. They still do well, but I would say one of my top performing videos is literally me just doing like a 60-second like marketing tip, where just for like 60 seconds I'm talking about something about marketing or advertising, about keeping it simple or the cost of wraps versus billboards and commercials, and just getting out in front of people. I think one of my top videos, I barely even talked about wraps. I talked about social media marketing and how it's just so cheap. And if you actually do have a budget, then looking at the price of a $3,000 billboard for a month versus a $3,000 wrap that'll last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, which basic math on that breaks down to $50 a month,
right?
For give or take the same viewership. And that video has far outreached more than any of my other videos. So just kind of good content, quick content. You don't need a 15-minute video, especially if you're starting out. That's too much time. You should be wrapping a car to pay your overhead.
So you just pop out the cell phone and just record anything shortly and just put it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. The video that I'm thinking of, I actually put it like on the, like where the phone was facing me or whatever, mm-hmm. hit record and like put it in my cup holder. And I was like driving to a client's location, one of those 30-day checks that I was talking mm-hmm. about. I was literally driving to the client's location, had a thought in my head about marketing, hit record and recorded myself talking while driving. And yeah, that, I mean, no production into it at all. Like, didn't edit a thing, just posted it raw and did great. So don't overthink it.
So with all that we're talking about now, all the future and all the growth and all of that, what challenges are you facing right now at the moment?
Oh man, what challenges aren't I facing? So,
what challenges are worth speaking about, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So, biggest challenge that I'm trying to dissect right now is just the process itself of wrapping the car. Hmm. I'm really trying to get that process down to like the car is only on my lot for 48 hours or less is really the goal that I'm trying to get to. Not there yet. Right now it's somewhere between 72 hours to maybe even 5 days to get a full wrap done. And it varies depending commercial, like pickup truck or van versus Mercedes. And
Details, right now.
Yeah. And right now, right behind me, we have a Mercedes. It's going the new Avery, gloss rock gray. Mm-hmm. So that car's, I guess, what is it? Tuesday. So that car's been here for 5 days. She's literally finishing it behind me as we speak. But the box truck outside, I mean, I did a 26-foot box truck in one day. So just trying to get that process of being able to get that Mercedes done or really any wrap just kind of narrowed down to that 48-hour or less mark is my biggest challenge as we speak.
Why 48 hours?
I wish I had some fancy answer, but really just kind of the goal that I had for myself is right. Trying to figure out what needs to be in place to be able to knock out a wrap in 2 days. And that would really set myself apart from my competition. That's kind of one of my outside of price, because mm-hmm. if someone's never heard of wraps and you tell them $3,000, typically they balk a little bit unless they've already been quoted or have already gotten paint prices. But, secondly, outside of price is time. If I need their car for 5 days, that's my second biggest like balking point of they can't go without their car that long. So if I can figure out how to narrow that time down to just 2 days, that's kind of my goal. It also allows me to open up shifts as well. So
right.
If it's 2 days, which is 16 working hours, but I have two shifts, then that 16 working hour is actually down to 1 day.
They come in and they come out.
Yeah. I would much rather, if I could narrow that process down and get a car done, and I've even told the people here that like work for me as well. I mean, it's like, if we get a car done in 2 days and I have nothing for you the next 3 days because I thought it was going to take all week, it's not like I'm just going to send you home and not pay you. Like, I'll still pay you for the full time. So just to kind of eliminate that up front that they don't think, well, shoot, if I get this thing done and we have nothing the rest of the week, where's my paycheck at? I'm just trying to get to that productivity level.
All right. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. It's it seems like a difficult one. The only other people that I've talked to that have been able to push vehicles out that quickly in 1 to 2 days are like shops of 16 installers. So try to figure out how to...
So two guys at one time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you take a second now and look back and all the projects you've done and been involved with, which one's been the hardest, you think? And what did it change?
Yeah, so hardest... as for like vehicle that I've wrapped, I guess is the question.
No, not really. Maybe not that much into the vehicle, but maybe what taught you the most out of the wrapping business, I guess.
I would say one of the biggest things that I've learned, at least from like, cause I have printers and all that from that standpoint, mm-hmm. is just trying to get a like color verification first. So if the client is the least bit picky on colors to do color samples, I printed an entire semi for a local school and they didn't like the color because a blue on a computer screen and a blue in print they're slightly different shades. So that was one of my biggest learning points or hardest lessons I've learned, because obviously printing an entire semi is not the cheapest thing in the world. And then the client's not happy with it when you're like two panels into it.
Man.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That was the hardest lesson.
I guess you put a system into it. So it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. If, a client, and now I will say I should be doing it. So maybe we're still tweaking the system a little bit to figure out how to do it, kind of streamline it.
Mm-hmm.
But if a client is the least bit picky about color, we actually will do like a small test print of colors and have them kind of sign off or verify the color before we go to print. I actually had a client today come in and pick out their like yellow and maroon, but they were a little weird about colors because they didn't want it to be, I mean, yellows are, they can go one way or the other real quick. So
right,
they came in and verified the colors before I actually printed the whole van. But I'll be printing that tomorrow morning and they drop off next Wednesday morning. So that's kind of a process that we've put in place too, is we're trying to print like a week before the vehicle actually gets here.
That's good. That's good time in advance.
Yeah. It, kind of helps mitigate any errors within the print before the vehicle gets here, and then allows us to prep it, roll it up, and kind of sit it in a box and wait till the vehicle shows up. Again, trying to get that install time down so their vehicle's not on our lot for 5 days.
Sweet. You were talking a little bit about Long Beach at RapsCon, not too far away back. So what did you brought with you from there?
Shoot, I had a ton of takeaways from Long Beach. One is just how friendly the industry as a whole is.
Mm-hmm.
So any of the small shops out there that are too scared to shoot a DM to some of the bigger shops that they follow, I mean, as long as you're respectful of their time and polite, I've had no problem walking right up to, I guess, who you would call like rap industry celebrities, walk right up to them, have full on conversations, and actually start building like lasting friendships out of it from people that 3 years ago I thought were Michael Jordan, that was untouchable. Mm-hmm. And just walk right up to them in a demo or whatever and shake their hand and have full on conversations with them. and Long Beach. And then since then, I've befriended all of them through Instagram and talked to several of them a couple times since then. So yeah, that was a huge takeaway. And then just another one is, so we're really trying to push our shop to be eco-friendly. So my fiance Tanner, and business partner as well, she's, by all means, I support her 110%, but she's definitely more the environmentalist. Like we have bamboo toothbrushes and the whole nine. So that was one thing we learned a lot is some of the non-PVC products that are coming available. Aurifol has a non-PVC product that's out now that has their rapid air technology in it. So it doesn't feel any different than any normal PVC product, except it's more eco-friendly. It's more durable. It's really just a better product. That was a big takeaway as well, is kind of seeing some of the brands that really are going after the eco-friendly side.
Have you had a chance also to be at SEMA once before, prior to being RepsCon?
No, I have not. So RepsCon was actually the first, I guess, networking or any type of industry event that I've been to. That was kind of a dream of mine 3 years ago, as you would, is to be able to attend RepsCon, and then hopefully maybe next year or sometime soon I'll be one of the quote-unquote celebrities that are at RepsCon, so as compared to just a spectator.
That's nice. If you were to, for example, meet up with someone that just opened a rep shop, their own rep shop, and kind of like you just recently started out, like you did before, a couple of years back, what would you tell that person if they ask you for tips or advice or whatever?
Yeah, so I would, my first tip of advice, and this is, I guess, a little broader than just the wrap industry, is very quickly figure out what makes you different. Because if you're no different than any other wrap shop in your industry, you're going to struggle. But if you can figure out something, and it doesn't have to be huge, and it doesn't have to be you're the only one that is in this niche across the country, you just, on a very micro scale of the market you're in, what makes you different than all of your competitors would be my biggest tip or advice, is really sit down and, I don't know, lock yourself in a room until you figure that out.
That one is a tough to answer, but a good one to have with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I have to be respectful of your time. There's not much time left for today, but just a quick couple of questions now. What one do you like working with the most?
From a product standpoint?
Right.
So I think that's going to very quickly be changing. So we've already played with some of like the test samples and stuff, and then also a little bit of it when we were in Long Beach. But our first kit is supposed to arrive Wednesday of the Aurifol's eco-friendly line. I think it's 3981. So that, I believe, is going to very quickly become our favorite product. Again, from the eco-friendly side of it, being non-PVC, but also actually being able to use it in some of their test films that they had sent us after Long Beach. It's a phenomenal product. It's more durable than PVC products, and it has much more of a self-healing aspect to it as well. So when we do those 30-day checks, it seems like it's going to be a big selling point as well, that we'll be able to reheat all their car and take out all their scratches, and it'll look like a brand new wrap. And we could, I don't know, maybe even tailor some type of maintenance plan around it as well, that we come out and see them every 6 months or every year and kind of redo that process to take the scratches out.
That's a nice one. Hope you get that one set up.
Yeah. That's, like I said, we're just waiting until Wednesday when that kit is supposed to be here. And then, without a doubt, that's gonna have to be probably our favorite product, and we'll probably pretty much take away everything else in the line. I think Aurifol has a calendared film as well, so it wouldn't be the only two products that we carry.
I really would love to hear your thoughts on that. So when you're done playing with a couple of weeks in, just let me know. I would like to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
For my own sake. So what would you love to rap to get your hands on?
What would I love?
Yeah.
So from a personal standpoint of just to kind of put it on my belt is probably going to be a supercar. So like a Lamborghini, just because as a child, I always wanted a Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I'm currently wrapping a 1965 Shelby Cobra replica, and that is...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That might be accomplishment enough to put on my belt. But
sounds like
really the fleets. Yeah, but really the fleets are what I like to wrap. It's what I enjoy. Those are really the customers that I enjoy. So, yeah, I mean, if I could get, I don't know, Amazon Prime semi trucks, that would be pretty good too.
Stand in line.
Yeah.
So, what projects are you most proud of?
A project I'm most proud of is probably one of two. One would be more of like as a business I'm proud of. Again, that construction company, building that relationship with them where rebranded their five companies into one over 26 vehicles. In about 18-month span, we played with their marketing budget of what they could afford. And then from a personal standpoint, that's probably this Shelby Cobra replica by far is one of the hardest things I've ever wrapped. So I'm one panel away, close enough to be able to say that I've wrapped it because what's left I've already wrapped on the other side of the car. So,
well, Andrew, that's about all that we have time for today. Before I let you go, just like I usually do, hopefully you know about this section. It's an open mic for the rapping world. So whatever you want to tell people out there, it's your moment. Go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the main thing that I just want to tell any of the smaller shops that are listening, and again, I group myself as one of those smaller shops as well, is don't be scared to reach out to anybody in the industry, ask questions, befriend them. I know anybody that comes over to my page and shoots us a DM, I personally will answer it and help anybody out with anything. I've talked on the phone with several shops all over the country, just giving them small startup advice. So that would be the one thing I say to anyone starting out in the industry, or even as a whole, just be friendly and don't be scared to say hello.
It's all about karma. What you give is what you receive.
Absolutely.
All right, Andrew, I'm going to let you go. I know you are pressed on time. So thank you very much for doing everything today and for being part of the show. And I hope to see you soon, maybe at SEMA.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to look into it. And it's my goal to kind of start networking a little bit more now that we have some people in here rapping and it's not just me and my fiance running the show.
Sweet. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.